All right, good morning. I am Pastor Mike. Question for you. Have you guys ever heard or have used Grubhub? Yeah, if you are unfamiliar with Grubhub, it's a service that will deliver food to you. You pay from your phone through their app, and then they pick it up and they bring it to you. Let me tell you a story that I read from USA Today. It says, one night, Grubhub rang the doorbell of a house where Kevin Stonehouse lived. Ding dong. They were dropping off some chicken tenders and some cheese fries. Kevin, he didn't order this food, so he thought it was his lucky night. Free food. Who doesn't love free food? Right? Kevin proceeds to take his food and go sit back down, and he starts eating his free chicken and fries. Ding dong. The doorbell rang again. Kevin goes to the door. It's Grubhub. And once again, he didn't order it. Kevin goes, okay, this is odd. Something's going on. And then he thought and he concluded this, that the food was for his wife who was out with her friends and they must be coming home and they wanted food ready when they got there. Makes sense? No big deal. Ding dong, more food. Ding dong, again. Ding dong, more food. Kevin said this, it just keeps happening. The cars are pulling in while the other cars are pulling out. Kevin couldn't figure out what had happened. Then he realized trouble. Let me introduce you to Kevin's 6-year-old son, Mason Stonehouse. So Mason was using his dad's phone before bed. He was supposed to be using it for an educational app, but he found his way onto the Grubhub app. Kevin ran to his son, son, what have you done? To which Mason said, dad, I was hungry. As Kevin is explaining why this was not okay, Mason is interrupting his dad. Dad, one question. Did my pepperoni pizzas come yet? Mason ordered $439 worth of pizza. All in all, Mason spent over $1,500 on food and tips that night. I want you to turn to your neighbor, okay? If you had the opportunity to spend $1,500 ordering food, what would you order? Turn to your neighbor, take 20 seconds, share. Go for it. All right. You know, there is not a day that goes by where someone in my house doesn't use the words, I'm hungry, right? God created our bodies to run on food, and hunger is the warning telling us we're low. Like, we feel the hunger, you hear the growling. Pretty sure around 11:45 or noon, if we're still in here, a lot of you guys are going to be checking your watches, your phones, because your body is telling you what? It's lunchtime, right? Food keeps us alive. God also designed us to be spiritually hungry. And some people don't know how to fill this emptiness inside. So they try to fill it with all sorts of things, like relationships with people, or material things, or drugs, alcohol, sex. But the spiritual hunger that we have can only be met by the bread of life, by Jesus. Will you pray with me? Father God, we are so grateful for this day. God, thank you that we get to gather together as a church family and we get to do family stuff and we get to sing and praise you. God, and as we transition into this time of digging into your word, God, I just pray that your spirit is here with us. God, may you convict us. May you teach us. God, what we need to know and hear today, may it be from you. God, we thank you for what you're going to do. It's in your precious name we pray. Amen. So I want to recap and set the stage for kind of part two of Jesus' interaction with the crowd in John chapter 6. Okay, so the crowd, they followed Jesus everywhere because of the signs, because of the miracles that Jesus did. Right? They benefited from them. They were entertained by them. And truthfully, they felt cared for by Jesus. So they followed him everywhere. After spending a very long day with Jesus, the crowd grew hungry. The disciples, they saw this and they ran to Jesus and told Jesus, "Jesus, we need to send all these people away." This was their first reaction to trouble, to a hard situation. They wanted to ignore it. Jesus says, "Guys, we can't ignore this. So what are we going to do about it?" Philip says, "It's impossible. We don't have the resources. We don't have enough money to feed everyone." Philip was looking for a human answer, a human solution. But the problem was, who's standing next to Philip? Jesus. Philip had taken his eyes off of Jesus and put it on his troubles, which is pretty foolish. Andrew chimes in next, and Andrew says, "Hey, there's a little boy here, and he's got a little boy lunch, but he's willing to give it to Jesus." But then Andrew says, "What good is this going to do?" He doubted. He didn't have faith. He did not have hope. He didn't believe that Jesus could do anything with something so small and so insignificant. Jesus wants to feed the crowd, though. He wants to teach the disciples that no problem, no trouble is too much for the power of Jesus. So Jesus took these two fish and five loaves of bread, and he gave thanks to God for them, and then a miracle was done. Right? Everyone, all the women, all the children, all the men had enough, as much food as they wanted. The crowd, they saw this miracle, and they wanted to make Jesus their king. Right? This is a great idea. He gives us free food. He entertains us with miracles. He cares for us. So let's let him fight the Roman oppression that we live under. And Jesus knows the heart of people. He sees what they're wanting to do. And so he sends the disciples away, and Jesus slips away. So this is the last time that the crowd saw Jesus or the disciples that evening. And now we are waking up to the next day. So let's read about this next day. We're going to start reading in verse 22. We're going to be reading some bigger chunks of scripture today. So it says, "The next day, the crowd that had stayed on the far side of the shore saw that disciples had taken the only boat, and they realized Jesus had gone with them, had not gone with them. Several boats from Tiberias landed near the place where the Lord had blessed the bread and the people had eaten. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor the disciples were there, they got into the boats and went across to Capernaum to look for him. They found him on the other side of the lake and asked, 'Rabbi, when did you get here?' Jesus replied, 'I tell you the truth, you want to be with me because I fed you, not because you understood the miraculous signs. Don't be so concerned about perishable things like food. Spend your energy seeking the eternal life that the Son of Man can give you, for God the Father has given me the seal of his approval.' They replied, 'We want to perform God's work too. What should we do?' Jesus told him, 'This is the only work God wants from you. Believe in the one he has sent.' They answered, 'Show us a miraculous sign if you want us to believe in you. What can you do? After all, our ancestors ate manna while they journeyed through the wilderness. The scripture says Moses gave them bread from heaven to eat.' Jesus said, 'I tell you the truth, Moses didn't give you bread from heaven. My Father did, and now he offers you the same true bread from heaven. The true bread from heaven is the one who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world.'" All right, so the people, they wake up the next day, and they see that Jesus is gone. And then they want to go set out to find their meal ticket. I mean, you know, they want to go find Jesus. And this miraculous bread that they ate the day before, it reminded them of something very similar in their history. It's when Moses led them in the wilderness. right? The nation of Israel journeyed from Egypt to the promised land, right? And through it all, God provided for the nation of Israel. And that he sustained them with manna. Every morning, they would wake up, and they would see the ground was covered with this, like, white, flaky, sweet stuff. In Hebrew, the word manna actually means, what is this? What is this? And why did God want to give them bread? Well, first, they're hungry, right? They're traveling across the wilderness, and there is no way they're going to have enough food to feed an entire nation. And second, God loves them. God wants to prove to them that he is going to provide for them. In this manna, it's only a picture of the things to come. Just as God had gave them bread to quench their physical hunger in the wilderness, he's going to send Jesus, the bread of life, who would quench their spiritual hunger and give them eternal life. But like we do, right? We long and we hunger for the wrong type of bread. The crowd saw that Jesus wasn't there, and they got in their boats to go find him. Was it because they understood that Jesus was the one who could quench their spiritual hunger? Was it because they understood that Jesus is the only one who's going to fill the emptiness in their souls? Or were they seeking Jesus because they wanted more bread in their stomachs? Author, theologian, commentator Leon Morris said this, that they were moved not by full hearts, but by full bellies. So what about us, church family? What about us? How much time and energy and effort do we put in making sure our physical hunger is met? Like, do you wake up in the morning and start thinking, what am I going to eat today? What am I going to drink today? Do you move from breakfast to lunch and dinner? How much time do you spend preparing and making food? Heading to the grocery store to buy more food? Spending significant amount of money eating out and having somebody else prepare food for you? Now, I'm not saying these things are inherently wrong. I'm just saying that we don't like to go hungry, do we? And my question is, compared to how much time and energy we spend on making sure our physical hunger is met, how much time and energy and effort do we spend making sure our spiritual hunger is met? Do you even think about it? Church family, what nourishes your soul? What fills you up? Here's what I know. God gives bread to those who are hungry. God gives bread to those who are hungry. If our lives consist of working day after day and just putting food on the table, if day after day thinking this relationship with this person is going to fulfill me, thinking that this newest and latest and the greatest thing is going to fulfill you, a promotion at work, a vacation, another victory, for me, another pair of shoes, thinking that it's going to fulfill me, then our lives are going to feel empty. If all of our energy goes into fulfilling our physical needs, then your life is going to feel wasted. So church family, if I can encourage you in anything, pursue things that are going to bring true satisfaction to your life. Jesus, the bread of life, is the only one who's going to fill that emptiness inside of you. And it is going to take your life every day in pursuit of Jesus, saying yes to him. But if you do that, the Bible tells us that you will have a full life. It is a promise. It's a promise. Look at verse 34 now. Sir, they said, give us this bread. Give us that bread every day. Jesus replied, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. But you haven't believed in me, even though you have seen me. However, those the Father has given me will come to me, and I will never reject them. For I have come down from heaven to do the will of God who sent me, not to do my own will. And this is the will of God, that I should not lose even one of those he has given me, but I should rise them up in the last day. For it is my Father's will that all who have seen his Son and believe in him should have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. Then the people began to murmur in disagreement because he had said, I am the bread that comes down from heaven. They said, isn't this Jesus, the son of Joseph? Like, we know his father and mother. How can he say, I came down from heaven? But Jesus replied, stop complaining about what I said. For no one can come to me unless the Father who has sent me draws them to me. And at the last day, I will raise them up. As it is written in the scriptures, unless they will all be taught by God. Everyone who listens to the Father and learns from him comes to me. Not that everyone has ever seen the Father, only I, who was sent from God, have seen him. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes has eternal life. Yes, I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, but they all died. Anyone who eats the bread from heaven, however, will never die. I am the living bread that comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will live forever. And this bread, which I will offer so the world may live, is my flesh. So the crazy thing about food and hunger is that it's like this circular cycle, right? That just doesn't end, right? How many of you guys have used the line, I'm starving, right? And then you go get some food, and then you use the line, man, I can't eat another bite. And then a few hours later, yeah, I could eat again. Jesus makes this point to the crowd, that only God's bread can give life. That only God's bread can give life. The crowd, they're just after physical bread, but it won't last. It's temporary. It's going to fill you up. It's going to sustain their life, but only for a time. Even those who ate the bread, the manna in the wilderness that God provided, not Moses, what happened to them? They still died, right? And I think Jesus is telling the crowd this same thing, that even though you guys ate this miraculous bread yesterday, food is not going to truly keep you alive. You are going to die. Therefore, you have a greater need than your physical hunger. Your greatest need in life is your spiritual life, which can only be met by God's bread, Jesus. And Jesus, the bread of life, is promised to all who receive him. Right? We just read this. Jesus said, I am the bread of life in verse 35. And I came down from heaven in verse 33. And if you believe in me, you will have life. Verse 47, and you will have life that never, ever ends. We see that in verse 50. So this is twofold, right? This bread of life, Jesus, right, is telling us that you're going to be made spiritually alive right here and right now, right? You are going to be brought into an acceptable relationship with God. But because of your sin, you didn't have that before. You were cut off. And second, when you die physically, you will spend forever with Jesus. That's what the bread of life does. And it's available to you and I. It's available to you and I, guys. Look at verse 52. It says, then the people began to argue with each other about what he meant. How can this man give us flesh to eat? They asked. So Jesus said again, I tell you the truth. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you cannot have eternal life within you. But anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise that person in the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Anyone who eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. I live because of the living Father who has sent me. In the same way, anyone who feeds on me will live because of me. I am the true bread that comes down from heaven. Anyone who eats this bread will not die as your ancestors did, even though they ate the manna, but will live forever. And he said these things while he was teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. I want you to imagine for a second that you're starving. Okay? You had a long day. You didn't get to eat breakfast. You had to work through lunch. And now you're feeling it, right? Your stomach's growling. It's making all those weird noises. And then I bring to you some fresh baked, right from the oven, biscuits. What would you do? Of course, you would grab one and you would devour it, right? You'd probably grab a second or a third. The only way to solve your hunger is to what? Eat, right? Common sense. Smelling the bread, putting it back. Is that gonna solve your hunger? No. Taking a bite, chewing it, spitting it out. Is that gonna solve your hunger? No. Right? Simply thinking about eating is not the same thing as eating. Knowing nutritional facts is not the same thing as eating. What do you have to do? Eat. That's the only way to satisfy your hunger. And in the same way, Jesus is telling this crowd that they must eat his flesh and drink his blood. And no, we're not talking about cannibalism here. Right? To eat means to believe. We must eat bread to live. We must eat bread to live. In the same sense with the biscuits, you have to fully believe. Right? There's no middle ground. There's no halfway here. Thinking about Jesus is not the same thing as believing. Knowing facts about Jesus is not the same thing as believing in Jesus. Knowing how Jesus saves a person is not the same thing as believing in Jesus. Believing is staking your life on the fact that the only way to live is to receive him. It's all your hopes in the fact that he is the only thing that is going to sustain your life and fulfill your life, which he promises to do. He promises to do. And how did the crowd respond to this? How did the crowd respond to Jesus' sermon on this day? It tells us that the majority of the people rejected the bread of life. That they rejected Jesus. They made excuses. Right? They couldn't see their need for spiritual life. They said it was too hard to believe. They grumbled and complained about what Jesus said. It's the same thing the people of Israel did in the wilderness with manna. They complained. Church family, believing in Jesus is hard because it does require you to let go of all forms of salvation. Right? It's not in yourself. It's not in your work. It's not in your victories. It's not in your rewards. It's only in and through Jesus. It's the only way. But it is available to us. So, church, I have to ask you the question. Have you eaten from the bread of life? Have you eaten from the bread of life? I came across this story of a man named Josh Broom this week. And I wanted to share his story. And this is his story. It says, my brokenness led me to further brokenness. My mom had me when she was 15. And my dad left her to start another family on the other side of town. And he ended up being well off, but my mom and me, we lived in poverty. And I had to go to school with his other kids. And I'd see them every day, and they lived comfortably while my mom and I struggled to survive. I felt worthless, unloved. And that's when I started to hear those voices in my heart, voices that told me that I was nothing more than the bad things that I've done. that no one would ever truly love me, that I'd never be a good father or a good man, that I would never make anyone proud of me. And so I got into the porn industry to try and satisfy a deep hunger in my heart. My journey with Christ began in 2015 when a girl I've known for years told me that the gospel is that you aren't defined by the worst thing you've ever done, nor are we defined by the best thing we've ever done. We're defined by Jesus' love for us. Nothing more, nothing less. And that day when the girl spoke the gospel over me, my maker unlocked the chains that shackled my heart. And after a few moments and a few months, I came to Christ. And I was discipled by some very godly men. And now I go around the country speaking at men's conferences and in student ministries, warning them about the true predatory nature of the porn industry and testifying to the power of the gospel. Joshua wrote a book and was asked by Pastor J.D. Greer if it was his life story. And Joshua replied, "Not really. I mean, I use my story some, obviously, but I don't want to glorify my story. What I did was a symptom of a hungry heart, a heart that every man I've ever known possesses. And most people will not express their hunger, their hungry hearts the way I did, or to the extent of I did. But all of them have the same hungry heart." So my book is more about the bread of life offered to all of us and the particulars of my specific story. Church, this is the redemptive work of Jesus. This is what the bread of life does. It transforms us into messes, into masterpieces, right? And the bread of life gives us purpose. It gives us meaning. A fulfilled life when we say yes to Him over and over and over. John 6:35. Jesus replied, "I am the bread of life. Whomever comes to me will never be hungry again. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty."